Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Matt the designer, Courtney Cronin. We got a little eye on the enemy action as we've called in to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ryan Wood, Packers insider. Listen, we got to take a look at what's going to happen in this Bears-Packers matchup. We got a lot of turmoil going on up here, and I think the worst that we can say for what's going on with the Packers is that maybe Jordan Love is Brett Favre.
He throws a lot of picks, but he makes a lot of plays too. And at the end of the day, it's business as usual up here. You know, it's crazy. For years up here, you were wondering what happens when Aaron Rodgers leaves, because lightning never strikes twice, and definitely never strikes three times. And lo and behold, here they are. Aaron Rodgers is gone. They've got Jordan Love, and it's just business as usual. It's something.
It's very concerning for us down here in Bears land who have went through the week that we've gone through. When I tell you, when I looked up yesterday and went, it's only Wednesday. We have so much more until this game. But we're going to break it all down. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start here, Ryan, because we were talking before the show started kind of about, you know, the outside looking in of the Chicago Bears. When you look at where this Bears team is at right now, especially ahead of this Bears-Packers matchup, are you surprised with where this team is at right now?
Well, I had them as the seventh seed when I filled out my preseason predictions this season. So, yes, and when they started 4-2, I was feeling pretty good about that. And now I kind of feel like an idiot because I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. This is the outside view, but it looks like a team in disarray. It looks like a team, you know, there's a difference between what's on paper and what's reality, right? On paper, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's not a perfect football team, but it's a talented roster. They built talent around Caleb Williams. They've got a good defense. We've seen that. It should be better than this, right? Except what is disarray. It's more dysfunction. It's potentially breaking a generational talent in Caleb Williams. It's just bad. It just continues to be bad.
So you're saying it's the whole same old Bears narrative that's around everywhere else, that everybody else sees it. Maybe the team doesn't see it here in Chicago, but everybody else still thinks they are who we have thought they were this entire time. Yeah, it's felt like that this week with all of the turmoil and the changing of coordinators and where they were at 4-2 to where they are now at 4-5. But I want to like do a little check-in here on the Packers because they start out the season in – I know you and I were talking about this. You were down in Brazil to watch them play the Eagles, a team that looks very different from where they started out the season. And the Packers look different from week one and the Jordan Love injury. Is he going to be out a long time? How many games is he going to have to miss? It's weird thinking back on that MCL injury and seeing him now, despite the interceptions – this team playing good football, sitting there at 6-3, coming off of the bye. Like, where were they week one, and how did they get to where they are now going into week 11?
It's been a journey. I mean, as repetitive as things can be, both in Chicago and also in Green Bay, where it's just like, ho-hum, another double-digit win season coming up, and they're going to be in the playoffs and be a contender in January. It's been different because you have the torn MCL for Jordan Love on his final play, 5 seconds left in Brazil against the Eagles. He misses the next 2 weeks, and you're coming back from Brazil looking at the schedule with potentially without a quarterback or your starting quarterback and thinking things could get bad. Like, you can't start a season 0-3, and here they are. You don't know how long Jordan Love will be out. They lost against the Eagles in Brazil, that start 0-1. Things could get bad, but then they do what good organizations do, and they have contingencies. They make sure they have a backup quarterback in Malik Willis, who comes out in week two against the Indianapolis Colts and then starts again week three against the Tennessee Titans with his hair on fire, looking like a completely different guy than his first two seasons in the league, all for the cost of a seventh-round pick. So chalk that one up to GM Brian Gutekunst, tremendous trade right before week one. And then it's not just the injuries for Jordan Love, but Romeo Doubs gets suspended week five for conduct detrimental to the team. Wakes up on a Thursday, decides not to go to practice, disgruntled with his role in the offense. That's more adversity. What's going to happen now? All they did was they won that game. They re-implemented against the Los Angeles Rams. They re-implemented Romeo Doubs into the offense without skipping a beat, win the next week against the Arizona Cardinals. So this team, which is the youngest team in the NFL for the second straight season, they've had a lot of adversity for it being the midseason point, but you look up and they're 6-3 and they're winning games. That's what organizational function and structure looks like. When things don't go right, you still find a way to win and make something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is it feels like they're winning in a way that we didn't see the Packers win last season, right? Hanging their hat on this defense, especially a guy coming in like Xavier McKinney. Do you feel like this is more of a defensive team that can rely on the offense at times? Or do you feel like this offense is still able to go out there and be dominant at times? We know Matt LaFleur can call great games and stuff like that, but Jordan Love, I don't believe he's had a game this season where he hasn't thrown a pick, but it seems like every time he goes out there, that defense gets that ball back for him.
He has thrown a pick in every single game, actually. And I will say on a macro level, the most interesting thing about this Packers team being 6-3 coming out of the bye, the reality is they really haven't played all that well yet. They're near the bottom of the league in red zone efficiency. Their defensive line has not gotten pressure at the extent that they expected coming in the season. Very much still adjusting to Jeff Hafley's 4-3 scheme after years of being in the 3-4. That's not an adjustment you make overnight. The defensive line is still trying to figure things out in terms of rushing the passer. Jordan Love has not had a game this season where he has not thrown an interception, leads the league with 10. You look at that, they've had drop passes. They're near the league leaders in penalties, 30 pre-snap penalties in 9 games. A lot of things that they need to clean up, and yet they are still 6-3. So on a macro level, there's a lot of potential there for more. That doesn't mean they're going to get it. They have to go get it, right? And that's what they did last year. You look at the Packers last year, they got exponentially better in the second half. And I think that's kind of the plan again, that they're banking on that happening again because they are young and talented, and usually young talent gets better as you get more experience. Yeah. That's what they're expecting. To the defense as a whole, the biggest change is just the play style. This is a defense that flies around. They're a vision-based defense, and that's something that Jeff Hafley, coming from his background as a lifelong DB coach, has, especially on the back end, play with your eyes. And that's easy to say. It's hard to do. But when you're able to play with your eyes the way that they have, you're seeing the ball, it's a lot easier to go get the ball. They lead the league in takeaways, a lot of big plays on that defense for years and years up here. It's been the quarterback and everyone else. But this does have a feel of a defense that can hold its water, which makes this Packers team a lot more dangerous.
Let's talk about Jordan Love, because I remember doing an exercise before the season started when you took a look at year two quarterbacks, Jordan Love, C.J. Stroud. And we threw Jordan Love in there because last year was his first year, effectively his rookie year, first year starting. And I thought it was hard to pick who's going to regress based on like how well both played last year, but there was the one area that I think was probably the outlier last year, the one interception in the final nine games of the season. Now we see him 11 weeks in the season, he's played in 7 games, he has 10 interceptions. Like, is this just like regressing to the mean? Is this a sign of a bigger issue? What do you make of some of the interceptions that he's thrown, having thrown one in every single game so far this season?
What you're seeing is a quarterback that has all the talent, that is in his second season as a starter, trying to figure out where that line is, what he can get away with and what he can't when it comes to playmaking. Because just because you can make every single play there is for a quarterback to make doesn't mean it's always a good time to try it. And you look at the pick six against the Lions, where he's on an injured groin, he's getting flushed from the pocket, he's running for his life. And the prudent thing to do at the end of the first half is just throw the ball away. It's 2nd and 4. You're in the 2-minute drill. Live for the 3rd and 4. Live for another play. But he's trying to make a play because he's talented like that. He knows he can now. The last year, he was unproven. He don't know at that point what kind of plays he can make. Now he knows he can make every play. He tries to hit a check down to Josh Jacobs. Kirby Joseph takes it 6 the other way. It's decision-making, and really, as a young guy who has that talent, trying to figure out where that line is, it's a problem, though. That, to me, I mentioned all the issues that they still have to clean up. Every single game having an interception, and these have been 2 pick sixes, they've been killer interceptions at times. You've got to be able to be efficient. It's something we saw him do last year, and I expect that he will get back to that because we saw it for 2 months. It wasn't like a flash in the pan. It was not a small sample size, but it's still got to happen.
Yeah, I think it's so funny, right, coming into this matchup. with all the turmoil that the Bears have, I do still go Jordan Love can throw a pick to this defense that could keep them in a closer game than is ever expected, right? Jordan Love could make a mistake that I think gives the Bears an opportunity. The big question for the Bears is, with Thomas Brown coming in, is this offense going to be able to keep pace, because we know that Jordan Love can come back down the other way and throw touchdowns. But when you talk about, right, being 6-3, off of the bye, he's thrown a pick in every single game. You haven't had the best pass rush, bunch of pre-snap penalties. To me, I look at our situation and I say, okay, while the touchdowns are not nearly the same, I do see a bunch of pre-snap penalties, defense that still has kept you in a game, offense that at times has done enough. And I really do see, like, if not for a couple of terrible coaching decisions that absolutely get Shane Waldron up out of here, the Bears could be in a place that is not all that dissimilar than where the Packers are right now, because there's a couple games on the schedule that you probably count as wins. Am I too off base with that? Is that pie in the sky too much? Or do you kind of see that same correlation where Matt LaFleur has been the difference in why they're 6-3 versus maybe where the team is at to this point?
That's what should be, right? On paper, I think we would all agree that there's talent in Chicago. There's winnable talent. They showed that through the first six games, and then adversity hit them the same way it did, different, but the same way it did with the Packers. Right. It wasn't losing your starting quarterback for two games, but the Hail Mary, that's adversity. Every team has to go through that. And that's the moments where you determine, you learn who you are and whether you have the makeup to get over something like that and weather that adversity or not. The Packers have, the Bears have not. Yeah, there's a lot of coaching involved in that for sure, especially with the dynamics in Green Bay where you have just youth all over the roster. They're even younger now after trading Preston Smith. He was the one position player they had in the entire locker room that was over 30 years old. And that's kind of incredible. This young roster is even younger now. A young roster is going to rely on the coaching staff to navigate them through a season. And Matt LaFleur has done a masterful job. Yes, as a play caller and scheming up run games, run game plans around Malik Willis and adapting on the fly schematically, but also just his leadership inside that locker room. He's got command of the entire locker room, and it shows in their play.
So let's talk about this division, because this is where the Bears are about to start their stretch, six division games in the final 8 weeks of the season. Packers are 0-2 right now in NFC North play, and you think about how they fared against Minnesota, looked dead in the first half. They come back and make that a very close game, and maybe they're a Sam Darnold interception away from making that a win instead of a loss. Or maybe if there would have been one more, they could have done it if it came in the red zone. And then the Green Bay game against the Detroit Lions, to see what happens when you outgain a team by over 150 yards and to watch that become a loss. Like, these losses kind of feel a little confounding. Is it just like the state of the NFC North? Now that you've seen, you know, more than half the division since they've played two teams already, what do you make of where the hierarchy is in the division, and also just like the strength of this division this year?
It is a very strong division. I think the Detroit Lions right now are the class of the NFC. I think the Minnesota Vikings are regressing to the mean a little bit. You know, Courtney, the two games, the two losses that you referred to, what's significant in that, they're both at home, right? They're both at Lambeau Field. You got to win your divisional games at home. Hello, Chicago, this week. This is a big – you got the Packers at home. You need to win this game and right the ship now, get the 5-5. But also, last year, the Packers lost to the Vikings and Lions at home. Later in the season, they came back and they won in Detroit. They won in Minnesota. And so, and that was the part of the exponential growth that you saw from not being able to take care of these teams on their home field to going on the road and beating them. Doesn't mean it's going to repeat again, but I see this week from the Packers' perspective, this is a Bears team that is in disarray. Because of that, it's a Bears team that you should handle. They're fortunate, right, to have the Bears twice more on their schedule. Those should be two wins for a good team that is going against a team that is going through a lot of dysfunction right now. Can they take advantage of that or not? That's what good teams do. You got to take advantage of the teams on your schedule that you should beat, and that's the Bears this week.
Yeah, when you look at this division right now, I've said this a couple of times. You know, I don't know if there's a team in this division. Maybe the Lions. The Lions may have changed my mind a little bit, but this division has so much teeth. I don't know if there's a team in this division that goes above 500 in the division because, like you said, right, Packers lose the game at home. Doesn't mean they can't go into Ford Field and get the job done. Doesn't mean that they can't go into Minnesota, get the job done over there. I just feel like, of course, I at this point, I have to believe that the Bears are probably finishing under 500 in the division. But it does feel like the team that finishes above 500, if any of them can, in the division, is probably the team that wins this division. And right now, I feel like Detroit has the best chance at that.
Yeah, again, I think they're the class of the NFC. Their makeup and their talent, their execution. And that's the thing. Seeing the Packers lose on their home field to Detroit, that loss wasn't because of a lack of talent. The Packers can go up against anyone in this conference from a talent standpoint. That all came down to execution. You had a team in Detroit. This is why they're my preseason pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Yep. The reason being, I thought they had the talent to go up against Green Bay, but they just had a little bit more seasoning. And then you get these two teams on the field, and it was the execution for the Lions. They're in a rain bath. I mean, it was absolutely torrid rain in Lambeau Field. And the Packers, the team that plays outdoors against the Lions team that hadn't played an outdoor game all season to that point, you would think that the Lions were more accustomed to the elements, to the weather, than the Packers, who were dropping passes left and right, couldn't execute in the slot. The Lions had that type of seasoning. So to me, that's the class of the NFC, but it's all going to come down to the wire. This division's way too close. It's way too much talent in this division. I think that's, you know, to keep pace, you got to beat a team like Chicago.
Eric Washington, the Bears defensive coordinator today, talked about, like, you know, he lays out what he expects from the opposing offense and started with Josh Jacobs. Now, I know Jacobs only has 4 touchdowns this year, 1 receiving, 1 rush, 3 rushing, but he said that he looks different this year. And of course, he was with the Las Vegas Raiders last year, maybe a change of scenery and a change in organization, one that's dysfunctional, one that's clearly not. Maybe that rejuvenates a player. But how big has he been? Like, do things truly start with him, knowing that it feels like they can cobble together any mishmash of receivers and make an effective passing offense? Like, how has he stabilized the run game after Aaron Jones departed to go to a division rival?
Very different runner than Aaron Jones. Watching Aaron Jones run the football is like watching poetry in motion. He's a beautiful runner of the ball. And Josh Jacobs ain't that. He will run you over. He doesn't have that quick burst like Aaron Jones has. You give a sliver of daylight and he's onto the second level already making big plays. But what Josh Jacobs provides that they never really had with Aaron Jones is reliability. Week in and week out, you know, with Josh Jacobs that you can give him 20 carries. And so when you start at the beginning of the week, you're building your game plan, you know, you have a ball carrier that can take 20 carries. You know, that you can build that game plan on automatic balance. You're going to have a run game presence. You're going to have a workhorse out of the backfield. And that makes everything go in terms of the play action game, the downfield passing game, all levels. So having someone that can consistently be a presence in this offense and you don't have to take snaps off of, you don't have to take carries and touches off of like they had to with Aaron Jones. I think you're going to see that in Minnesota as well. You might have fewer big plays, but the other thing about Josh Jacobs this season, he's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. When Josh Jacobs was the NFL rushing champ in 2022, he averaged a career high 4.9. So this is as good, frankly, as he's ever been. And it's that consistency matched with the automatic balance that he provides that really is the foundational for this Packers offense.
Yeah, he's so dangerous. It's one of the things that coming in this week, I'm worried about with this Bears defense, especially with how they've defended the run this season. Montez Sweat coming in banged up. We'll see what he's able to do coming in here. I want to talk about this Packers defense a little bit, though, because like I said, just a takeaway machine, a defense that really – maybe they can't get after you enough, but they make up for it so much in the DBs and the linebackers on this team. What do you think they're going to be able to do to disrupt, of course, a offense that seems like it's in disarray, but to keep that disruption going with a new voice in Thomas Brown, who probably is going to run the football a little bit more and probably is going to have Caleb, I would assume, taking the shorter passes a little bit more?
Yeah, you got to expect a safe game plan for Caleb Williams this week after getting sacked 9 times last week. But even still, I think this is a real litmus test for the Packers defensive line that has still been sluggish and adjusted this 4-3 scheme to see where they're at, to see if you can take advantage of a rookie quarterback that's built on extended plays. That's part of his game. might hold on the ball a little bit long, give you those opportunities to get after him in an offensive line that is prone to giving up a lot of sacks. Yep. Week three in Tennessee, the Packers defense got to Will Levis 8 times. So they've had that type of game once this season. Can they do it again? And can that be a springboard for this defensive front to really kind of sink its teeth into this 4-3 scheme and take off with it the second half of the season? This is an opportunity to do that. Even if it's a conservative game plan, which you have to expect, this is still an opportunity to do that. I'm very curious if that's something that they'll be able to do. Something that Jeff Hafley has been able to do in terms of still getting pressure, even with the defensive line kind of being sluggish in this 4-3 adjustment, he schemes up a lot of pressure, something we didn't see with former Packers defense coordinator Joe Barry. There's a lot of simulated pressures, a lot of stacking guys at the line of scrimmage. It can keep young quarterbacks. You saw it with C.J. Stroud against Houston when the Packers held him to under 100 passing yards, kept him very off balance in terms of pre-snap, reading the pass protection, where the blitz was coming from. He's been able to do that. Can they rush more traditionally with bringing 4, dropping 7 in coverage, which every defense coordinator wants to do, has to be a staple of every good defense. That, to me, is what the question this week. Can they get that done?
What do you make of what Xavier McKinney, like maybe it's manufactured, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, but he had some pointed words for DJ Moore this week. I know you were there in the locker room when that thing was going down. What did you make of that?
It was certainly – It's manufactured away. Like Xavier McKinney, before the Packers played the Lions, he was asked about the gimmicky plays in Detroit. And he said that in his opinion, it's disrespectful and that this is a locker room, the Packers locker room, that would take exception to that. Now, what was interesting is later on that week, the Lions just lined up and beat them. They didn't rely on any gimmicky plays, which we know is part of their arsenal offensively. There was none of that. They just lined up and beat him. But this is who Xavier McKinney is. He is right now the best safety in the NFL. He is a shortlist candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, and he is a guy that he will search out, hunt out any type of disrespect that he can sniff, and he will use it. That is just his personality. I was standing next to him. You guys tell me better than you know. I know he said. DJ Moore was calling him out. I'm like, really? I asked, like, did that really happen? Like, really? I hadn't seen it. And whether – I don't know if it happened or not. You got to tell me. But whether it happened or not, it happened to Xavier McKinney.
It wasn't a call-out. What happened and what we believe this stems from is he did an interview preseason with Kay Adams. And basically, it was talked about the NFC North has added a ton of DBs. Are you concerned about these guys? And DJ was like, they're there. It's literally all he said. Which, listen, for a guy to take it and kind of turn it into one of those Shaq stories, one of those Jordan stories where he's like, oh, he said the ultimate disrespect. I'm just here. Yeah, I mean, like stuff like that.
From the preseason.
It gets the juices flowing a little bit. Bears-Packers rivalry. I like that he's jawing this way. I wish that we jawed a little bit back the other way. But when you've lost 10 straight, it's kind of hard to jaw back.
It is. So from the, I mean, he's digging way back in the files. This is who Xavier McKinney is. And you know what? When you have 6 picks and you have a sack, you have a fumble recovery, you're one of the best defensive players in the NFL at the midway point of the season, don't change anything. Do what you do. Because it's funny. He had a pick in each of his first 5 games, first time in NFL history that any players had a pick in each of their first 5 games with a new team. And all around the locker room, you heard the same thing. He's living right. He's living right. Whatever, he's doing it right. So don't change a thing if you're Xavier McKinney. Keep having that Michael Jordan mentality of every single slight, imagined, big, small, whatever it might be, is the end of the world. And play off that, it's worked for him.
It's so funny seeing it. It's just like, and I will say this, the one thing that does get me excited, the one thing from a Bears fan perspective that gets the juices flowing is that Caleb Williams said something this week that we haven't heard a quarterback say in a long time. Mitchell Trubisky, when it was talked about the Packers games, was very, it's another game. Matt Nagy was very, it's another game. Matt Eberflus has been, it's another game. Justin Fields was, it's another game. Caleb Williams, first thing he said when asked about Packers week, it's not just another game. So it feels like the mentality in Chicago at least is changing in the right direction. That makes me feel good because, I mean, you know this better than most. Aaron Rodgers instilled in Jordan Love that you need to understand this is not another game. Matt LaFleur feels that way, and he takes pride in that, and it's something that I felt like we haven't seen much in Chicago. And I think it's why the Packers have been the hammer to the Bears' nail so often, because even back in the day, right, they would go into divisional play, and you'd always say the Bears are going to play the Packers tough. We haven't been able to say that through these regimes who viewed it as just another game.
Talking about manufacturing things, this is the NFL's oldest rivalry, and in Green Bay, it's the youngest locker room. In Chicago, it's a rookie quarterback, right? So it's the oldest rivalry in nothing but youth. And one of the things Matt LaFleur did this week when the team came in from its bye was he put old clips of Packers-Bears games of the past. And today, Adam Sinovich, the offensive coordinator, said it went all the way back to the black and white film, which there's plenty of that in this rivalry. They went all the way back to the beginning to instill that this is serious. Like, in this locker room, especially the Packers don't have any scars against the Bears. Nobody in that locker room has any resentment, any reason for resentment against this Chicago Bears team, that all they've done, all they've known, is going down to Chicago and beating them. But that doesn't, you know, the resentment's more against the Detroit Lions and certainly the Minnesota Vikings, but that doesn't mean that you got to still buy into it. Another thing Adam Sinovich said, it's a 17-game season. There's a lot of monotony in an NFL schedule. Sometimes you take these opportunities to break up that monotony. Like, oh, this isn't just any other game. This is rivalry week. Let's get up for this one. I think it helps when the Packers are going to come into Chicago as major favorites. It helps to keep that edge of, okay, this, you might be favorites. This might be a team you should be. Doesn't mean you can just waltz in there, Soldier Field, and expect to win.
Yeah. You talk to Bears players about this. Jalen Johnson has never beaten them before. Cole Kmet, like some of the older tenured players in this locker room who are the guys that they've built this team around, they don't know what it's like. I mean, 10 straight losses, and I know Matt Eberflus has like a 167 win percentage against teams in his division. That's the worst win percentage that anybody has since 2022 when he was hired. So probably would do the Bears a world of good, Pat, if they could at least try to keep this close. I don't feel like this is going to be a win for Chicago, but certainly it can't look as bad as it did in that week 18 game last year. Certainly even worse in the week 1, 38-20 drubbing that they had last year.
Such a tone setter that was too, right? Because I remember being in the press box before that game and it's thinking, I have no idea what's about to happen. I have zero expectation on whether it's going to go well. We don't know anything about this new quarterback, Jordan Love. 38-20. That was an emphatic statement that, you know what, might be a new quarterback, but it's the same old rivalry, and you still own it.
Yeah, and the understanding was there. All right, let's finish it out with this. This is the part that is definitely going to suck on my part. Prediction time. What do you guys have the outcome of this game being? Ryan?
I have it not close. I see a team in the Packers that I think are going to be trending north like they did last season. I see a team in the Bears that are just the definition of dysfunction to me. And I think it's a shame. I don't think there'd be anything better in the league than this rivalry turning into an actual rivalry. Mm-hmm. But it can't be a rivalry when one team just lays over dead every single time they play. Yeah. And that just has the feel yet again of that happening. I got it 33-12, Packers.
Mine's somewhere close to that. I have it 31-14. I don't know. You'd like to believe that what the Bears can do, if you're in that locker room, like what the Saints had happen last week, where it was a, you know, rejuvenated team when Darren Rizzi takes over and they win a close game, at least show some life on offense. But I'm not there yet. I don't think that this offense can make the significant changes that Matt Eberflus expects them to make. I think a lot of that's more lip service than anything else to try to sell the idea that this offense can and should be better than it is, but I don't think it will be close either.
I do have it close. I don't know if I still can't pick a win. But for me, I think that you usually get a little bit of a bump the first week. I don't think that fixes the season, but I think that the offense does get a little bit more of a bump. I think the fact that the Bears will try to run the football a little bit more will actually work in their favor and commit to the run with a former running back as their offensive coordinator now. I've got 24-21. I do think that the Bears actually fight to keep this game close, but I can't pick them to win because – you're 10 games into this rivalry, over the last 10 games, I should say, and you haven't sniffed a win. I think that this is a step in the right direction. It gives you some confidence, but still a loss nonetheless. Let's hope that we're all wrong, at least on my front and Courtney's front. Ryan probably hopes that he's absolutely right. Makes it easier to write about. Ryan, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. Let the people know where they can find you at.
Yeah, PackersNews.com, Walker Journal Sentinel, Green Bay Press Gazette, newspapers all across eastern Wisconsin. And I'll tell you this, party, I hope it's close too, because this is my 11th season covering the Packers. It's never been a rivalry. And again, I'll go back to the Packers-Bears really meaning something, standing for something, being about something would be great for the game. It'd be great for the league. I would love nothing more. I'm not a Packers fan, right? So I would love nothing more than to see this rivalry actually become something again.
You and me both. It feels like it's not even a rivalry at this point. Fight back. That's what I say every time we play the Packers. Fight back. Just try to fight back. Thanks for coming on, Ryan. We appreciate you taking the time out.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Ryan.
Appreciate Ryan joining us on the show. Now, we do have some news that we have to cover here, Courtney, because I think this goes a little bit deeper than football at this point. Jaquan Brisker placed on IR for the concussion issues. I mean, at this point, last game, I believe, was October 7th for Jaquan Brisker. He's been gone for more than a month. I get the football aspect of it. It sucks that you're not going out there, especially in divisional play with one of your star DBs. But are we at Tua levels with Jaquan at this point? Are we at where we have to be concerned about this young man, not only just his health, but his life after football? I mean, three concussions in 3 years, all have kept him out a lengthy period of time. And you feel bad about this one because he did everything right going in for the tackle. Tight end lowers his head, hits him helmet to helmet, and that's what caused the concussion.
Yeah, it's – I mean, you bring up Tua. Tua never had the issues of coming back from the concussion. You know what I mean? Like, no. Jaquan didn't either for the two that he had, one against the Falcons his rookie season, that was caused then. They let him play throughout the rest of the game. But then, of course, after that, and then the one on the two-point conversion against the Raiders last year – it didn't take him. He's been in the concussion protocol a month, more than a month and a week, which is that's the longest we've heard about this year. And I think it's a really concerning development that they determined, hey, we're just going to put you on IR today. We know we've been taking this on a week-to-week basis. They have kept his roster spot during this stretch. Now everybody can be, look at it in hindsight. We'll say they should have put him on IR a couple weeks ago, but you could never – like, it seems like there's so much stop, start with this, because we would hear from Matt Eberflus. He's saying, oh, he's getting better. He's getting closer to coming back. And then you'd hear, okay, well, he's, going through the process of the five-step, five-stage NFL concussion protocol. And he can't, pass a certain level because he keeps having symptoms show up. So at some point, if you're the Bears, if you're, the independent neurologist that they consult with, if you're team doctors, the trainers, the whole thing, you've got to sit yourselves down and say, is there something that we're not doing? Like, this isn't getting any better. You know what I mean? It's been a month and a week. Like, it's not getting any better. So is there some other course of action you have to take to shut him down completely? Because, we'll see him in the locker room from time to time. Like, he has been around. We know he's been in some of the meetings, some of the walkthroughs, but obviously not doing much. Is there something that they need to do that becomes a more aggressive step to get him to heal? And it's not even just worried about, get him back on the football field after the four games that he has to miss now being on IR are up. This has got to be thinking about his long-term future, because this is pretty serious. I covered a player in Minnesota named Ben Gideon. He was a linebacker. And he had a couple concussions in a stretch that kept him out. I mean, he was missing double-digit games at one point because he was still in concussion protocol. And, that led to, the end of his career. And that's what you don't want for any player. But certainly, if you're thinking about what Jaquan Brisker means to this defense and you're trying to think about, can he play the game? If he's able to come back, can he play the game the way that made him a second round draft pick? Yeah. If the answer to that is no, because they're determining that's, it makes him susceptible to another concussion, which could end up really, really hurting him more than he's already dealing with, then you might be thinking about retirement at some point, which no player 3 years into their career ever considers. None. He started 35 games. Every game he's appeared in, he started. It's just unfortunate right now that you know, his body is not responding to this in a certain way that makes it like, no, like, put football aside. We have to worry about you as a human being and making sure that you're safe. That's not a good spot for any party involved to be in.
Now, is this, and I don't know if you know this, if we've gotten clarification on this, has Jaquan been the one kind of holding himself out? He seems like he's not that level of player, but then you see a retweet from him today where somebody basically was tweeting about, you know, I find it crazy how people lose their minds when a player prioritizes his future and his brain health, and Jaquan Brisker is setting a good example by letting his brain fully heal. Is this Jaquan saying, hey, guys, like, I have to protect myself. I want to be out there. I want to play. And we all know he's that level of player, but I can't put myself in a situation where I'm knocked out again for, you know, the foreseeable future.
I think it's got to be a little bit of both, because you've heard how the team has talked about his injury, and put, you know, Matty Berflus talks about, you know, we're concerned about the man, meaning the person behind the football player. And then, you know, Brisker has been actively tweeting throughout his injury, and, you know, the losses clearly bother him. Like, so he's still locked in and engaged, but imagine how difficult that's got to be for somebody when you're, you know, you're there, but you're not, like, you're not going through the day-to-day stuff that your teammates are going through. You're trying to, you know, be in the training room, do all the neurological activities that you need to do to, you know, get your brain healthy. I would imagine that's really tough for someone like that. And at some point, if, you know, if you can't pass the steps and it's not getting anything better, you got to pivot course and do something different. And I'm sure that that's frustrating. But like, when you hear about, when you see retweets like that, and obviously, like, we can't talk to him because he's in concussion protocol right now. So you haven't heard from the horse's mouth, but I would imagine that he's looking at this as an intelligent player, somebody who, you know, again, high round draft pick, like he's worthy of everything that he's gotten in the NFL, but also realizing that, you know, you're staring your career mortality right in the face. And that's a tough spot for any player, especially a young player who thought that they could play for probably 10 plus years. That's a tough pill to swallow. So I imagine going through the motion of that's got to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, no, 100%. Hopefully we're able to see him back. Won't be eligible to return for at least 4 weeks. And then, of course, that window opens up. And, you know, does he come back then? That may be a situation of where the season is at.
Absolutely, because that would be after – that'd be going into Week 15, so that Monday night game in Minnesota. Like, if they lose these next four games and they're 4-9 at that point, do you risk it?
Yeah. I wouldn't personally, but again, you know, it's about the player. It's about how the player feels. It's about, you know, where he's at in the concussion protocol at that point. If he wants to get out there and play, I wouldn't be surprised by it. You know what I mean? We know he wants to play. We know he wants to be a part of the team, but – as the Bears, do you risk it? Do you take a chance on him getting another concussion? And then you open up a whole nother can of worms. So we'll see what the Bears end up doing. Hopefully they end up finding a way to get a win here this coming Sunday. None of us seem very confident in that based on what we've seen. But, you know, listen, we've been surprised before. Maybe this is Matt Eberflus's Dan Campbell run. All right. Nah, okay. I tried, Bears fans. I tried. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Make sure you're tuned in with us tomorrow to finish out the week as we prepare for this Bears-Packers game. As always, man, y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.